right, what's up, guys? We're here at Starbucks. First stop on the road trip, San Francisco, September 2nd, 12th. We're at 4th and Market, I think. Somewhere right in the heart of downtown San Francisco. Stephen Liu showed up. So this is the meetup right now. We're doing meetups in every city, so make sure you guys check out the links for the Eventbrites. And, you know, potentially we'll do podcasts, video collabs, might even make it in the documentary. So I'm going to hand the mic over to Stephen Liu, and he's going to share his 52-week journey posting videos every week on LinkedIn and kind of what he's learned building a personal brand in the last year. So, Stephen, thank you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Zach. It's a pleasure meeting you in person and just been following you on LinkedIn. Your story's been remarkable. So for me, on LinkedIn, I've been doing videos every single week. For the last year and a half, I started January 2018, and I called it a 52-week challenge. And I upload videos every week where I share career tips and advice, because my motto, my slogan is helping others before they ask for help. And I have all this career tips, all this career advice that mentors have given me, coworkers, I've gone to presentations, and you know, why keep it to myself, right? It helps me, but why not help as many people as I can? So that's where I started my video challenge. I did it last year. I actually had a list of things to talk about, and I had about 40, and then halfway through the year, I was like, oh man, I'm going to run out. But I powered through it, and this year, you know, I'm calling it my round two of my 52-week challenge. Still continuing to upload videos every week, still continuing to share career tips and advice, and just this journey. I mean, just first of all, personally, my personal growth, gotten way more comfortable speaking in public, and not just speaking in public, but also speaking in front of a camera. It's a totally different dynamic. Being more comfortable putting myself out there, and also on LinkedIn, it's just being able to connect with great people like Zach, a lot more people. You know, it's too many people to name, but my network has grown double last year. My goal is to do that again this year, and it's just the growth has been exponential. And two, 3 years ago, if you asked me if I was going to do this, I would have said no way. You know, I'm just kind of introverted, keep to myself, but now just way more confident in myself, and this has just helped me, you know, in my career, at work, at school, in life. Just being connected with a lot of great people through LinkedIn by doing these videos every week, my advice is just start doing one, and then your growth, you'll get more confident throughout each video. And I laugh on my very first video because it was super awkward, and you know, now it's now I don't hesitate uploading a video, and you know, still continuing to do them every single week.
So I really like the idea of the 52-week challenge, definitely more so than the 30-day challenge. I think I like the 30-day challenge because it is a bit of a challenge, but there is a possibility of burnout, and then you know, doing one video a day for 30 days is going to be less effective in the long run than doing 30 videos over 30 weeks or 52 videos in 52 weeks. What are some of the like video ideas that you talked about? And also, what is your current job and how does LinkedIn play into that?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about pretty much anything. I mean, just basics from what you should have in your LinkedIn summary, how you should tell your story through your LinkedIn summary, different advice through on your resume. For example, you should quantify your results on your resume. You know, put your results on there, put how much of an impact, how big of an impact you've had. A lot of personal growth. You know, I'm extremely busy. I work full time. I'm studying my master's part time. I'm a project manager at Lockheed. I've been at Lockheed for 5.5 years now. I've been in my current role as a project manager for 6 years now. And it's just, you know, through all these videos, just people at work come up to me and say, hey, I see you on LinkedIn, I see your videos. And it's just a good feeling that, you know, I know I'm making an impact on others. And, you know, just through work, just being more confident, like I said earlier, being more confident, being more comfortable speaking in public, standing up in front of an audience, you know, it's not an issue to me anymore. Whether it's at...
Yeah, you're like just looking straight at the camera, yeah, not even looking at me.
Yeah, whether it's at work, whether it's at work or school, you know, I've gone back to my alma mater, San Jose State University, and just, you know, been on panels, talked to students as well. Just my videos cover a lot of different things. You can go, you know, personal plug, go check out my LinkedIn profile. Zach will probably put a link. But I have a Google Doc of all the videos I've had, and there's a link to every single video. I think I'm about up to like 90 or so videos at this point, you know, if you're counting from last year. So just click on whatever you like, and you know, and just looking to help out as many people as I can.
So Lockheed Martin, that's probably going to have some interesting questions that might relate to the Industry 4 road trip documentary that I'm working on. But first, touching on the, you know, video and LinkedIn aspect, Lockheed doesn't really strike me as one of the, you know, more forward-facing tech companies. So you might be an outlier at that company. What are some of the struggles you faced building your personal brand while at a more like a, you know, older, maybe more traditional type of company, large company that maybe some of your colleagues are like, what are you doing, Steven? Like,
yeah, no, that's a great point, Zach. Definitely, like you said, older company, not as forward leading in terms of technology, in terms of social media, in terms of digital content. I mean, technology definitely way up there in what we do. But you know, they publish things on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, but they're not, you know, as cool, you know, as you can say, to SpaceX, right, or any of those like Blue Origin or any of those other space companies that really have a bigger social media presence and know how to utilize that social media. And then for me personally, it's just you know, I'm just putting myself out there. I mean, I've been in meetings where you know, I was sitting in a meeting across the table from a VP, and she said. And I asked her, hey, you know, how's the move to Florida? Everything's going well. And she's like, yeah. And she said, I really enjoyed your videos. Nice. And then, you know, someone said at the table. Yeah. And then someone at the table said, hey, what video? So, you know, I had to go through my whole spiel about why I'm doing videos. But I, just knowing that, you know, my videos have such a large impact. And, you know, back to what you said earlier about the company, it's such a large company. It's hard to make yourself known out there. But I think through these videos and just being more comfortable putting myself out there allows me to go to different events, network, present, and things like that, to build up my personal brand, to build up my reputation at work.
So let's say we fast forward a few years, social media becomes more widely spread, adopted, more people are building their brands personally, even at large companies. Where does that leave us? Does that put us back at square one as if social media had not existed, or are we still better off, but maybe the opportunity is not as large? Like, where do you see that where, you know, not just you at Lockheed, but, you know, hundreds or thousands of employees are also doing videos? Do the returns drop? Are there still benefits? Is everyone just wasting their time making videos at that point? Like, where does the future of video as more people start to adopt it?
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, right? And when I did videos in early 2018, I you know, maybe it's not true, maybe it's just what I see in my newsfeed, but I felt like I was one of the few people doing videos, right? Maybe I wasn't connected yet to you know, the top people who have 100,000 followers, 50,000 followers. But to what you're saying, in the future, when everyone's building their brand, you kind of have to stand out in a different way. So, I mean, YouTube was super popular 10 years ago, right? You got all these people making homemade videos, and they still have to kind of change and adjust today. And it's still, YouTube is definitely a popular platform, and then LinkedIn is definitely trending that way. I've seen a lot of really good content out there. You know, my videos are very low budget, just use my cell phone. There's people that put in a lot of work, whole editing team. So it's good to see that trend. And then, you know, let's say 5 to 10 years from now, when LinkedIn is full of videos, I think to really stand out when everyone's doing video, you kind of have to find that unique niche, right? You have to stand out in a different way. You have to be a little different than others, right? So maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's whatever new platform is out there, and just taking advantage of it and utilizing it as a tool to put yourself out there even more, standing out beyond the crowd. Because, you know, at this point, we're in front of the crowd, and the crowd's kind of, you know, closing in on us. But now, you know, years down the road, that crowd's going to be with us. So you kind of want to be one step ahead of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I still see it as valuable in the sense that it gives you an opportunity to know more people more quickly. More information is being transferred. So, you know, like our relationship, right? We've never met in person before, but we feel like we know each other. You've applied that to a company, imagine the synergy that could be possible, right? you're not going to have, let's say you work at Microsoft with 100,000 colleagues, you're not going to get to know every single one by meeting over coffee, but you might get to know 10 times more people through LinkedIn than you would if you were physically meeting them. So there is much higher velocity of bandwidth of data being exchanged. So even if everyone's on video, yes, the returns will be a little bit diminished. You know, a year ago on LinkedIn, video was not the same as it is today. I mean, it was a land grab back then. I mean, it was amazing. Today is still good, but, you know, like I said, still now you're a little bit more competition as far as views and such, but I still see it as valuable. Let's pivot a little bit and talk about some interesting things that you could share that you're working on at Lockheed.
Yeah, so been at Lockheed 5.5 years. This is my fifth job since I've been at Lockheed. So about every year I've been changing jobs, keeping me interested, keeping me fresh. I'm learning way more, going to different programs, working on totally different things. I did computer engineering. Ironically, didn't use any of that when I got to Lockheed. I was hired as a software engineer, and after 2 years, I was writing any code, and I mean, I didn't mind that. And I asked my manager, can you change me over to systems engineer? So I guess, you know, a little crash course of where I've been since I've been at Lockheed. First job, I worked in a system integration lab. So integrated Army tactical vehicles, integrated them into our lab facility to test all the different subsystems together. That was a very cool first job out of college, very hands-on. Then we moved to lab, so helping to redesign what the future of that lab is like, making things more efficient, making processes more efficient, the layout more efficient. Just being involved in that was just a great experience, kind of seeing that big picture and knowing that what I do today is going to have an impact 10, 20 years in the future. So let's do it right today. Let's not cut corners. And then the future people who use the lab will really appreciate it. So I did that job for about 3 years, wanted to do something different, and went over to another program and worked on a refresh of their missile data center. Basically, processes flight test telemetry. The issue was the thing was 20 years old, and there was no documentation, so I created rack drawings from scratch, created interconnect drawings from scratch, wrote procedures from scratch, just talking to people, writing it, because none of that was documented. So that was a really it was a really interesting job. Just like, wow, this stuff's been here for 20 years. All the people in the team have been here for 20 years. They know everything about it, but it's not written down. So if they retire, then, you know, you're kind of screwed. So a few months into that job, I got selected into the Engineering Leadership Development Program, ELDP for short. This is a early career leadership development job rotation program at Lockheed. So in parallel, I did my first rotation, did risk and opportunity management for that same program I was in. Did both for 9 to 12 months, and then it was time for my second rotation. This is definitely the coolest job I worked in. I worked on a satellite program, came in with no aerospace background, came in with no satellite experience, and I picked a propulsion system and just spent 6 months learning as much as I could, learning the system, learning how, you know, orbits and aerospace engineering works. And then we launched in October last year, and I was on console for 4 months. So I worked in mission control. The room is literally like mission control, super cool. Looked at telemetry on the phone, talking to the crew, telling them to send commands. Just a great experience. I mean, I did 2 weeks, straight weeks of grave shift. I didn't mind that. It was just part of that overall experience. We did get to final orbit, and just being part of that team, that big family, you know, everyone's just, you know, hunkered down into mission control every single day, and then finally getting the satellite to where it needs to be was just a great accomplishment, a great lot of effort. And then that led me to my current job as a project manager. Started this in February, and I work on obsolescence projects. Basically, there's a lot of parts that go into our system, and you know, you don't want parts to go obsolete. You have to make sure your supply chain is going. So part of my job is to execute projects to qualify parts that are going obsolete, qualifying their replacement, making sure it doesn't impact our production line. This is a great experience for me because I want to get into project management. This is the job I wanted to do. And just, you know, working with customers, working with suppliers, and working cross-functionally with finance, with planners, with engineers, using different skills than what I had before. Instead of being 100% technical, you know, just get the satellite to final orbit, learn as much as I can, to, hey, now I got to work with people. I have to leverage all of these different functional areas. They're all experts. Leverage them to lead a successful project. So that's where I've been since I've been at Lockheed the last 5.5 years. Five different jobs. So, you know, it's been, like I said, it's been different, right? So every job's different and just great learning experience. And, I mean, every experience has been awesome so far. Every job's very unique. And I wouldn't trade any position for anything so far.
Our backgrounds are more similar than I would have thought at first. I grew up in system integration, water, wastewater, water treatment. Tying all those systems together. Imagine it to be a little bit different working at Lockheed with like government and certain red tape. Working for cities and municipalities had its own share of frustrating things where I imagine maybe there's, do you ever run into issues where, you know, you want to like leverage Amazon Web Services, but you can't because it's for a government job, or you want to just open up a Trello board to track your project, but no, you can't do that because do you run into issues like that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, just because our system has to be so secure, so isolated, so we just only have certain tools that we can use, right? So, especially working at Lockheed, a lot of classified programs, so there's a lot of common software you just normally used.
Answer this question, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a lot of normal software you normally use, you just can't put on a classified system. So like, whether it's like a coding IDE that you're used to, you can't use it because it's not approved yet. So you just have to find alternatives, learn a whole new system. But I mean, it's another tool, on the bright side, it's another tool for you to learn. And there's definitely some limitations. You're kind of limited in what you can use. You can't just like, oh, I want to use this. You have to, get approvals. And it's all for security. So it's all important.
Awesome. I would probably not work well there because I'm just kind of more like just scrappy. Just kind of, I don't really like authority. I just like to do my own thing. That's why I'm just my own entity. But do you ever feel like as a software engineer, there was kind of like part of you that like wanted to express yourself that you just couldn't get out, and maybe that's why you found yourself doing videos or found yourself pivoting towards project management? Me personally, like, I do always felt like something was missing as an engineer. I mean, maybe I'm an extrovert, maybe I'm mixed, I don't know. I just feel like, maybe most engineers would not be doing what we're doing, right? So do you feel like that has kind of led you into that path of project management, or?
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny you mentioned that. So it's, how I got into doing videos, how I got into putting myself out there. And so I talked about that ELDP program, the Engineering Leadership Development Program. I applied first in 2016, got to the interview, and then didn't make it through the interview. And I asked for feedback, and they said, you need more project management experience, you need more leadership experience. So at that point, I kind of knew I wanted to get into project management. I had a good coworker who became a mentor. And I just think how his career path took off, getting to project management, kind of wanted me to. I wanted to follow that path as well. And then the other part of, you need more leadership experience. I started getting involved in different organizations at work. One organization in particular is the Professional Asian American Network Employee Resource Group, or PAN for short. So at Lockheed, we have a lot of different employee resource groups for minorities, women, Hispanic, African American, LGBT, etc. And so I started getting involved in that organization, started as the mentoring and professional development chair, led speed mentoring events, brought in speakers to present. After a year, then I became the co-chair of our site in Sunnyvale, and just leading the site, leading the three different committees, putting myself out there even more, running monthly meetings, speaking at the monthly meetings, kind of being the face of the organization in Sunnyvale. And then a year after that, became the space business area chair. So I went up an even higher level. So now I have five different sites under me, kind of seeing things more strategically at the top level. What can we do to get more engagement at all the lower sites? What are our initiatives? What are our common initiatives? What are our common goals? And try to implement that at each site. And just throughout this process, just getting more comfortable, putting myself out there, being more comfortable. That was part of it. Yeah, no, definitely. And people ask me, hey, what's your biggest failure? And I'm like, getting rejected was my biggest failure, but actually it came out better. Because if I got in, I probably wouldn't have gotten involved in all these organizations. And, you know, wouldn't have gotten that much more confident in myself to now put myself out there on LinkedIn through all these videos. And that challenge was just through, you know, leveraging a new platform, a new feature of the platform, using video, and just, hey, challenge myself to do something weekly. And, you know, I didn't think I was going to finish, you know, to be honest. I only had 40 tips in my original list, but I was able to make it through 1 year. And now I'm, you know, almost three quarters through the year two here, and you know, we'll see what happens next year, maybe bigger and better things.
So as you know, many of my followers know on LinkedIn, many people listen to this podcast know I'm working on an Industry 4.0 documentary right now, Industry 4.0 road trip, and traveling all across the United States talking to different end users, processes, manufacturers. Talking to the system integrators, the engineers actually doing this work, and then talking to the software providers that are making this technology to drive industry. What is Industry 4.0 to you? Like, what does that mean to you?
I think it's just, you know, just making an impact, right? Just understanding what everyone's needs are. Everyone's needs are different. Everyone's abilities are different, but just kind of understanding, you know, what kind of difference, you know, you can make, right? Just, you know, people from different, you know, just even here in the Bay Area, right? People in different areas, different companies have different points of views, different things they experience. And, you know, throughout your road trip, you're going to go around the country. There's different cultures, you know, Bay Area, Silicon Valley, it's a very, very unique culture that you don't see anywhere else. And I mean, I'm interested to see what people's thoughts are, you know, in the Midwest, in the South, in the Northeast, and, you know, wherever else you go. Maybe you should go international as well.
Yeah, I maybe 2020 we'll do a world tour. But so I guess more so specifically about the technology, how is technology almost like what we see with, you know, consumer technology like Google and Amazon and Facebook, like some of this MQTT, IIoT protocols where, you know, web, like Amazon Web Services, some of that stuff's making its way back down into industrial automation, and it's opening up new opportunities for, you know, machines to talk to each other, you know, big data, machine learning analytics, improving the processes, you know, kind of very much like what you're doing with your projects at Lockheed. I guess, how is that impacting, like, what our day-to-day, like, our actual lives? Because the documentary is kind of more so geared towards your everyday person. So I'm trying to connect those two, like, the experts, the actual processes, and how it impacts us. So, like, yeah, what are you seeing as this technology makes its way into manufacturing? Just maybe an example, or, you know, like, you walk on the BART, and it just automatically scans your, you know, Bluetooth or, I don't know, like something like that, or, you know, like there's a whole system that tracks where these trains are, and, you know, that's like real time, you know, screens. Like there's a lot of like Wonderware or Viva systems that I've worked on that control these, you know, control these stations. But like, what, like I said, wouldn't it be nice if they also integrated to make our lives easier or make the operators' lives easier so they're operating more safely, less fatigue? I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm just kind of rambling, but.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, technology just has made everyone's lives easier, right? And, you know, you know, a lot of examples, you know, with technology is so pervasive in our daily lives now. Everyone has a smartphone. I mean, you use it to pay now. You can use it to pay, you know, as your ticket for trains or, you know, different modes of transportation. At home, you got, you know, Google Home, Alexa, you know, all these different products. And it just makes life easier, right? And it's, you know, I think we just need to kind of embrace all the new technology, automation, you know, machine learning, AI, IoT, you know, all these different buzzwords. I mean, it's, you know, definitely will make, you know, definitely makes our lives easier, right? And just getting off the train and just walking straight here with my phone in hand, you know, I don't have to figure out where I need to go. Just my phone will tell me. And it's just, technology is just, it's just growing exponentially. And you know, We need that out there, right? Because giving people easier access to what they need to get to you know, to do well in their lives.
Yeah, I often say like automation is really about people, you know, at the end of the day, if it's not making our lives better, then why are we, you know, why are we doing it? Or if it's not increasing diversity, or if it's not increasing opportunities for everyone to succeed, you know, that's what's cool about coding. It's like you could take a coding boot camp, and you can get into a job at Google without a degree now. So like, in a few months of time and some hard work, you could literally change your life, you know. Tell me about those Bay Area prices, man.
Well, I mean, I lived here my whole life. I grew up here, went to school locally, Sound State, work here locally in Sunnyvale. I'm doing my master's right now in Santa Clara. I never really left, so it's not really sticker shock. I guess it's, you know, I'm used to the high prices.
Are you renting?
I'm still living at home, so very, very affordable rent. I'll put it that way. Yeah, very affordable rent. But I mean, it's sticker shock the opposite direction, right? So, you know, like a house here, guaranteed $1 million, right? You know, I was on Zillow a couple months ago, just been curious, and, you know, a standard 1,500 square foot, 2,000 square foot house in Sunnyvale is like $1.5 million. And then Lockheed, you know, we're really big in Denver, right? So that's where a lot of people end up going. Looked at a house, similar, you know, same specs, everything in a really nice area, $500K. And then in my current job, I work a lot with the supply chain people in Texas. And I go look up, you know, where they are, and, you know, you get double the size for $250. So, but I mean, like, I've been here my whole life, and I mean, just weather's great. The diversity of food, people, just things you can do, you know, beach is close by, mountains are nearby. I mean, I just went hiking yesterday. It's just so much stuff to do. And I think just growing up here, I'm used to it, you know, used to how much things cost. And then just, you know, finding out ways to be able to afford it, right? Because, you know, this is home, right? Never lived anywhere else. And, you know, maybe that's one regret, you know, just not being able to move around and experience different places. But I think this is definitely the best place, you know, you can live, you know, in terms of overall, you know, things you can do, food, and just with the weather.
I definitely agree. You know, there is more opportunity with all the tech jobs, and, you know, salaries are going to be a bit higher. But is that a red camera or no? Open house. Oh, no, that's a Target. I saw that little logo on that house right there. It looked like a red. Like a red camera. Anyways, so I feel like, you know, while salaries might be higher and opportunities might be more, at the end of the day, you're still paying more. It doesn't quite make up for it. You're still paying more because of that weather, because of that desirable location. And I've said this in Southern California. It's like, I'm here now. Like, if I leave, it's going to be harder to come back, you know? So I might as well just try to stay, make it work. And give me an idea of, like, some of the LinkedIn content creators that stand out to you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, Zach, obviously, you know, great one here. You know, not just because he's sitting in front of me, definitely. I think a couple of people that really stand out, Joe Applebaum really stands out. Shay Robottom, I think she's definitely on the leading edge. You know, we're talking about crowds and, like, well, what if a lot of people get onto LinkedIn, right? How do you stand out that way? But she's putting stuff on LinkedIn that is, you know, kind of what I've used to be seeing on YouTube. So she's taking kind of that YouTube video, I guess you can call it a culture or style, and she's putting that on Shay. She's putting that on LinkedIn, and I mean her stuff's super popular. I mean, it's really impactful. Just seeing that, and, you know, all these different influencers on LinkedIn, kind of they continue to motivate me, right? Because on my newsfeed, it's you know, it's half of it's video, right? So, you know, and I'm putting video out there, but if you know, if my content feed was just all, you know, little, like, two-sentence posts or you know, like, different, like, thought-provoking questions, you know, maybe I wouldn't be as motivated to do video. But now just seeing people putting really, really high-quality content on LinkedIn, you know, makes me want to do that as well. You know, once I, you know, I'm trying to figure out what to do after I graduate my master's in December, and, you know, maybe high-quality videos, maybe a podcast. I got a lot of different ideas in my mind, and see what I really want to get into. You know, for next year.
I would say definitely try it, because you never know what format you're going to like the best, you know? Like, try doing a vlog or try doing a podcast and see what you like, and just do what makes you feel good, you know? Don't worry about the results, because the results will come when you stick with what you love, because you stick with it because you love it, you know? How do you, on the other side, like maybe someone who hasn't jumped in yet, it's hard to not look at it and think of it like a pyramid scheme. Like, oh, like one person gets on video, then they get two people on video, and those two people get their friends on video, and then like it. And on the other side, being a content creator, I could see how it's like that, but then I've almost come to kind of embrace that model, like of us just sharing our information. So like, what would you say to someone who's like, oh, well, you know, like, you know, everyone's just making videos about making videos, or like, it seems like a pyramid scheme, or like, what would you say to that person?
I mean, I'll just share my story, right? Just kind of where I started, very basic cell phone video, no confidence at all. You know, I laugh at my very first video. And then just now, just being way more confident, just like in terms of personal growth, right? Just the soft skills, presentation skills, you know, speaking in public. I mean, that just that's grown so much through these videos. And I tell people the easiest way to start is just to talk about yourself for like a minute or 2 minutes, because the best, you know, that's, you know yourself the best out of anything, right? That's the easiest thing you can talk about, right? I can talk about where I've been, my career, what I've been doing. I can talk about that all day. So, you know, that's my advice to people. Just, you know, yeah, of course, you know, you have all these great influencers on LinkedIn that put out really great content, really high quality content. And, you know, I'm still, you know, using my cell phone. I'm using a webcam. You know, I have a microphone. I'm not using anything fancy. You know, I only started using subtitles late last year. And, you know, just, you know, knowing that, hey, putting in subtitles, putting that extra little extra work will get me more engagement.
Using YouTube?
I have Movie Maker on my Windows computer.
And just add them in.
Just add them in. And, you know, I've become more efficient through these videos. You know, I usually kind of write up a script, kind of like piece my thoughts together, and, you know, when I shoot the video and then put the subtitles in, you know, it's like 80% there. So just, you know, I tell people each of my videos takes like an hour and a half from like what I'm going to talk about to recording it, to editing, cutting it, to putting subtitles, an hour and a half, right? That's not that much time, right? Especially if you do it only once a week. So, I mean, I tell people just to get started, just use your cell phone, right? Like, just, you don't need to go out, buy some fancy equipment. It's definitely hard to put yourself out there to make that leap, right? To take that plunge. But once you do it, you upload the first one and then you upload the second one, it just gets easier and easier throughout. And, you know, just talk about yourself. And LinkedIn is, what I really appreciate about LinkedIn, it's such a supportive community, right? You know, I see people post their first videos on LinkedIn and just say, hey, great video, you know, I really like it, really enjoy your video, really enjoy putting yourself out there. It's just a good, big supportive family community on LinkedIn, you know, rather than, you know, YouTube, where it's YouTube's anonymous, right? So you don't know who's commenting on your stuff. You know, you have, you know, a bunch of trolls on there. Facebook, you know, Facebook is, you know, a lot more, you know, you have names and things like that, but then, you know, you still have those, you know, trolls and people that just want to put you down, right? But I think on LinkedIn, it's just a big supportive community. Yeah, everyone's supporting each other. Yeah, yeah. It's not a competition, right? And it's just, you know, I would just say put yourself out there, upload one video and see what happens, right? And I didn't think I was going to make it through do a round two of my 52-week challenge, but I've been enjoying it, doing it so much. It's been so helpful to me, beneficial to me, that I'm just continuing to do it.
Have you made money from LinkedIn videos yet?
No, not at all. It's all intangible, you know, benefits that come out of it, you know, building a network. Just like I said, all the presentation skills, all the public speaking. I mean, that's something you can't value, but that has helped me in my career.
So,
yeah, indirectly. And I mean, it's part of my personal brand. And like I said earlier, people at work see my videos. I went to my high school reunion. People say, hey, I watch your videos. And I had a VP across the table say she watches my videos. So just like putting myself out there, building my personal brand, it's definitely, you know, it's valuable. It's invaluable, actually, right? There's no dollar amount on it, but it's definitely been extremely beneficial to me.
What resonates about my content for you?
I think you're just a, you know, down to earth, humble guy, right? Your story, you know, you have a corporate job, right? You're like, hey, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm just gonna go do content full time and just making that plunge, right? Just you know, I really appreciate that. You know, just someone who's put in all the effort to get to, you know, where you are today. And I mean, the growth is exponential. And just, you know, like I said, just down to earth, humble guy. And you know, people have said that about myself as well, right? I could have just not do video and just share all the, you know, keep all this career tips and advice to myself, but I'm putting myself out there, sharing career tips to anyone who wants to listen. You know, you may not think this one's relevant, but you know, the next one may be. And just, you know, not targeting anyone specific, but anyone who would benefit. And just, I think just having that attitude, that mentality, just, hey, I'm helping people, and you know, I'm not trying to, you know, benefit benefit extremely from this. I'm not trying to become a millionaire off of this. Just, I enjoy doing this because I enjoy doing it, because I want to help people.
I really appreciate that, man. I appreciate you coming all the way out here. Do you have any like final questions for me or the audience, or just final thoughts about anything?
Just overall, hey, appreciate you having me on your podcast, and this is the first time me doing a podcast. Maybe I'll be on the other side of the table next time I do this. But no, Zach is definitely an awesome person. I don't know how long we've been connected. Maybe at least a year. Yeah, and then just, you know, building that relationship through LinkedIn, you know, commenting on each other's content, liking each other's content, just engaging through LinkedIn messaging, and just creating that relationship. And you know, I said this earlier, put yourself out there, right? And you know, I was 2-3 years ago, I would have not done this, and I just decided to take the plunge, do a video every single week, and it's been a remarkable journey. And if I didn't do these videos, I wouldn't have met Zach and all these other great influencers, wouldn't have this opportunity to be on a, you know, be on your podcast to do this. So, you know, that's my final, you know, piece of advice. I was just, put yourself out there. You never know what's going to happen. And LinkedIn is such a supportive community that, you know, it's, you have nothing to lose by putting yourself out there. You just get a lot of support from everyone, and then you'll just reap the benefits from doing that.
Thank you so much, man. All right, guys, that is we're wrapping up the first episode of the Industry 4.0 Road Trip Tour. Steven, thank you so much for coming out. Guys, connect with Steven Liu. I'll have his comment or his profile linked down below. Also follow the hashtag Industry 4 Road Trip to see other interviews, as well as the documentary itself when it comes out. Thank you guys for listening to the Zach Scriven podcast. Apo, close it out.
See you later, guys. Peace.
Peace.